Praise God. I just want to share a little bit here tonight, and then we're going to see what else the Lord has for us. So, praise God. Let's just pray again. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you that you love us, and that you are for us, and that you are with us, and that you are in us tonight. How can we lose? The reality is we already have the victory in Christ, so we're in a good place tonight, Father. Whatever's been going on around us, whatever the world's thrown at us, whatever trouble may have shown up on our doorstep tonight, none of that really matters. We're in a really good place tonight because we're in Christ and we are above only. Hallelujah. We thank you for that tonight. And Father, as we just spend these next few moments in your presence, spend these next few moments, Father, listening to you, not just listening to what might be coming, you know, through these speakers, but listening on the inside to the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Father, we ask you to speak to us, to show us the truth tonight, bring freedom to us through the truth. Hallelujah. Lead us and guide us. Show us things that are to come. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you want, I just want to share from some verses in John chapter 10. You know, we were singing those songs. Those are very powerful songs when, if you really mean what you're singing, when you're saying, Jesus, you know, be the center of my life, that's a pretty strong statement. And then when you're singing that there's nothing you hold on to, and you give, you know, you give God your life and say, there's nothing I'm going to hold on to. If you sing those things and you really mean those things, which, you know, as I was standing there and we were singing, I just had the sense that a lot of us meant that. That, you know, we weren't just singing to be singing, that we meant what we were singing. That's pretty powerful stuff, you know, that you would be making these really bold declarations of your dependency on God, your surrender to him, your submission to him and his plan and purpose for your life. That's a pretty bold thing to do. And as I was standing there thinking that, I had the thought, these people sound like they mean it. That's awesome. Let's read these verses. I want to encourage you. John chapter 10, begin in verse 1. It says, most assuredly, this is Jesus talking, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Say the shepherd. He's the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And when it says here, they do not know the voice of strangers, doesn't mean they don't recognize that it's the voice of a stranger. It means that they're not familiar with and they don't trust. They're not comfortable with the voice of strangers. Now, these are verses that go, for me, these go way back into my childhood. These verses, this was something that my dad talked about a lot. This was a confession he had us say all the time, is that I know the voice of the good shepherd, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. Said that hundreds, if not thousands of times in my life as my dad's led me in confessions that we always did. Now, it's very comforting to me as I read these verses. There's some things here. Now, first of all, I just want to remind you, he's talking. This is Jesus talking, and he's talking to Jewish people. And so these Jewish people were familiar with the concept of what Psalm 23 says. What does Psalm 23 say? Let's just get the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So they are familiar with the concept that the Lord is our shepherd, that he shepherds us. And then, you know, and all that that encompasses. But he's saying here, he's saying that there is one, that the sheep hear his voice. He calls out, he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. So he's taking that idea that they developed, you know, that had come down through their beliefs and in their culture, that the Lord is our shepherd. And now he's really saying, you know, There is a shepherd, I'm him. But when he brings out, he says, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, we just sang the song. I mean, this is very much a sheep yielding to the shepherd, these two songs we sang. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm following you. Take my life. all the things that we just sang. We're saying we're showing up to be the sheep. And we're saying we recognize you're the shepherd and we're going to follow you. But I just want to bring you a little comfort here in this. And that is that the shepherd doesn't stay back, you know, at the stable. He doesn't just, you know, give the sheep a little direction and then send out the sheep and he stays back at the stable. And I'm bringing this up tonight because I think in some ways, and sometimes I know even in my own life, I sometimes kind of get the wrong notion. I feel like, or, you know, maybe get mixed up a little bit that maybe I should come and pray and God's going to speak to me. He's going to give me some direction and then I'm going to trot out there and I'm going to do what he told me to do. And then if I get, you know, in a conundrum, then I'm going to run back over here and I'm going to pray a little more and God's going to show me what to do. And then I'm going to trot out there and run around, try to fix that little mess I made and do something else. And then, you know, it's kind of the idea like that, but that isn't at all the idea of the good shepherd. And he's telling us here, this is very comforting. He goes before them, but he's not like way out there ahead. He's just before us. And it says, and the sheep follow him. So he's just up ahead enough so I can see him and follow him. And it says, for they know his voice. So I'm still close enough to him that I can hear his voice. And bear in mind, they didn't have amplification systems, you know, electronic amplification systems. He's just leading just ahead here, just enough so we can hear him. And he's saying, we're not going to follow. I love this. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be concerned. I don't have to be afraid that I'm going to follow the stranger. And that's comforting. Sometimes I speak with people and they're looking for God's plan for their life and they're just really afraid that they're going to miss it. Don't be afraid you're going to miss it. Don't be afraid tonight that you're going to miss God's plans for you, that you're going to get sidetracked, that you're going to be deceived, that you're going to fall in with something else, that you're going to go off the rail. Because if you're a sheep and you're listening for the voice of the shepherd, we have our shepherd's assurance that we will by no means follow a stranger, but we'll flee from him. Because we don't know and we're not comforted by and we're not drawn to and familiar with the voice of the stranger. So we'll recognize it. Oh, that's a strange voice. That's not the voice of our shepherd. So that's comforting. And particularly as you're really learning in your life to hear his voice and to know his voice. And I know we have a number of young people here, younger people. I'm one of them. I am younger than my mama, who's going to be 80 on her next birthday, or 96, whichever comes first. But I'm always clinging to that. But anyway, we as younger people, we are really plotting forward this path that God has for us. And we live in a crazy mixed up world. And what is the path that we're going to plot out? Well, the shepherd is going to go right here before us and he's going to lead us. And he's going to speak to us, and we're going to be able to hear his voice, and he's going to talk to us in a way that we can understand, and he's going to lead us the way we should go. And that's really good news tonight. That's really good news. And so I want to encourage you with that. And then just let's go over to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, and just see what would have come up inside of them and their thinking, they would have been reminded of when Jesus starts the shepherd talk. They would be reminded. It's probably, I know in our day, this is the most famous psalm. I don't know if it was in his day, in the day Jesus walked the earth, but surely it was pretty well known. And it's in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the first thing, straight up. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You shall not. One translation says, I shall not lack. One says, I shall not lack any good thing. What does that mean, I shall not want? It means you won't be in want. You won't fall behind. You won't end up with nothing. You'll be supplied. And it doesn't just mean materially, even though it does mean that. It means that whatever the desires are that God's put in your heart, they're not going to go unmet. The Lord is my shepherd. He's leading me somewhere. Where is he leading me? He's leading me into all he has for me. That's why it's wonderful to follow the good shepherd. It's just awesome to follow the good shepherd because he'll take you right where you want to go, even when you don't even realize it's the way you should go. And he goes on to say, he makes me like to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Boy, that's a good one. He restores my soul. He restores my, that's something we all need, and we need it a lot. Because I'm telling you, the life on planet Earth can just suck the life out of you. But the good shepherd is always restoring our soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, there's tough times. Yeah, there are things going on around us. Yeah, we live in a war zone. But I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Who's with me? The good shepherd is with me. He's not back at the stable. He's here with me. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare, in fact, you prepare a table before me, even here in the presence of my enemies. Not just, you know, the great marriage supper of the Lamb, but the feast that God's prepared for us right here in the presence of our enemies. You anoint my head with oil. That's speaking of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of God that's on our lives. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And, you know, here's just the kicker. Here's the trump card over everything. This is the deal. When you're a believer, you have the ultimate trump card that whether you live or whether you die, you are victorious because death has no sting. Death has lost its victory over us. And the reality is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's it, man. We have the ultimate trump card. We belong to Him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we will always, and so shall we ever, be with the Lord. Woo! Let's don't rush that, but it's good to know that it's there if we need it. Now, I just want to talk just practically for a minute here and just share a couple things. First of all, on Sunday morning, for those of you who were here, Eddie shared a story during the offering time, and he was telling a story about how he and Carol had sown an offering of $250 in a meeting, and he was wanting to get a house. Y'all remember this? It was Sunday morning. Some of you have heard this that even weren't here. So they were wanting to buy a home, and they were in a meeting, and the Lord just led them. The good shepherd just laid it on their heart to plant a seed of $250 towards a new home. And so Eddie was just stretched his faith out there, and he was just trusting God that he'd do something supernatural with this gift. This was an over and above offering, and he was just believing God for it. And so things went on, and immediately they didn't see any kind of harvest on that. Nothing seemed to happen, and they got married, moved into an apartment, and lived in an apartment for several months. And then he shared how at some point he shows up at church. And at that time, we were actually attending the church that used to own this building. It was called Maranatha then. We were sitting right back over here. There were pews here then, but this is where we would sit, right over in that section. So anybody sitting up there is really blessed. Just teasing. That's ridiculous. Okay, but we were sitting right over there. And during the service, he shared how he's sitting, you know, trying to pay attention, being a good kid, you know, I mean, being a good guy, and he's listening, paying attention, and then somebody down the row passes notes. Don't do that tonight. Of course, y'all text each other. Y'all don't pass notes. I know how y'all do. Sometimes y'all mistakenly get me in your text group. I see it. We're in service. Y'all are texting. I've seen it. But anyway, we don't even do that now. I couldn't text him, or I would have. So I just passed him a note, and it goes down, you know, by Carol. I'm sitting by Carol, and she looks at me like, quit passing notes, you know, like a school marm. And I'm like, and give it to Eddie. And she does. And of course, Eddie opens it, and he just looks at it. And all it said is, you're going with me after service. And so he opens it. So I want to tell another side of that, and it relates to this. And so he's like, what are you doing? I said, just be quiet. Y'all get in the car. We're going somewhere. And so what ended up happening is I took him and showed him a house. And here's the backstory on that. Several months before, Matt and I and the kids, in fact, were out riding around. He said we were house hunting for sport. I think it's the way he said it on Sunday, which pretty much described many years of my life, house hunting for sport. I don't know if you've ever done any of y'all ever done that. You just how I could see you doing it, Vanessa. Okay, you just how okay, you know, y'all know what I'm saying. Oh, okay, yeah, you got it. You just go out and you look. And back then, you know, now they don't do open houses as much as they used to because people can see everything on the internet. Now I can sit in the comfort of my own home and house hunt for sport. But used to, you had to go out on Sunday afternoons. And so, anyway, Matt and I had been out with the kids and we were riding down the road. We'd been looking at houses and it wasn't going really well, and Matt was in an especially testy mood that day. I think it was him. I'm pretty sure. Somebody in the car was. And then we have these four, I don't know if we had four kids. We only had two then, I think. Yeah, we had these two kids. That's right, we only had two, and they're in the backs, the girls, and they're, you know, anywhere you drag your kids on a Sunday afternoon, they don't want to go. They want to go home. They don't want to be drug around to look at houses, especially when you go in the door and you give them the big talk, don't you touch anything. So it's like a nightmare for them. So they're kind of testy too. And then so we're going, and so Matt finally said, we're done with this. We're going home. And I'm like, okay, all right. And we're riding down the road. And just as we're on this kind of main road, I see a little sign and it says open house with an arrow like that. And so I don't even know why, just when I saw that, I just prevailed upon him and I said, can we just see one more? Let's just turn here. And because he's so used to, you know, like whenever I say turn, he turns. He, that was a joke. And so when I said turn here, he turned. But he actually did this time and he turned. And just as he began to turn on the inside of me, I just heard these words, you'll find something. Now I know that voice, it's the voice of the Good Shepherd. He said, you'll find something. So we turned, and on the inside, you'll find something. And so I'm like, oh, okay, well, this was a good move to make this turn. So we go down a street we'd never been on, a road, and then that, we saw an arrow, and it pointed, so we go down into a cul-de-sac, and there's a house. I didn't even know that neighborhood was back there, never been down there before. We go in, and we pull up, and there's another family there at the open house, and we get out, and we're going through the house. And, you know, I'm expectant because I just heard on the inside, you'll find something. And so I'm walking, you know, I'm looking for what is the something I'm going to find, you know. And so I'm looking through the house. And when I got to the kitchen of the house, I just stopped. And I just right there, I just saw this kitchen and I saw Carol standing in that kitchen. I said, Carol would love this kitchen. And we looked around. And we got in the car and left, and that's all that happened. And nothing else did I find except a kitchen that I thought Carol would love. So we left, and we went home and got busy with the kids. And I never mentioned to them that I never mentioned to Carol and Eddie that we'd gone, that we saw a house. I never told Carol I found a house she would like. Nothing. I never said anything to them until 2 months later. That Sunday morning, we're getting dressed to go to church. It's before we pastor. We're getting ready to go to church. And the phone rings. It's the real estate agent. And the real estate agent said to me, and Eddie related some of this on Sunday. She said, hey, she introduced herself. She said, I met you at, and told me the address. She said, you were at an open house a couple of months ago. And I said, yes, I remember it. And she said, well, I'm calling to tell you that that house has not been sold, that the guy who owns the house just called me. And he wants to drop the price on that house, $25,000. And she said, and I'm calling you to see if you want that house, if you're interested. Well, I don't even know why she called me, because we weren't like especially interested. We never talked to her again. We never followed up. We just went in. We were just one of a couple of different families that were there. I don't know why she called us, but she just called us. And it was me, called me, and she said, and I didn't know if you wanted to come, you know, come this afternoon and look at it, or if you might want the house. And I said, you know, I don't want the house, but I know who does. We'll be there. We're going to church. I'll bring them over right after church. They'll want it. That's what I told her and hung up the phone. And so then I'm all happy. So we come to church. I'm writing notes in church. Well, the Lord said to me, you're going to find something, but I didn't know what he meant. And then I found that house, and then 2 months later, Eddie found his deal, his $25,000 reduction. He had to have a great deal or he wasn't going to buy a house. And it was a fabulous deal because it was already a good price, and that made it a fabulous price. And Eddie, lo and behold, signed, you know, a contract on it just immediately, which was crazy for him to do that, honestly. So that's the rest of the story. Is that when I turned, the Lord said, you'll find something. Now, here's the reason I'm bringing all this up. Because in this room here tonight, there are people that I know who are following God. And we're all endeavoring to follow him in a better way, you know, to be more accurate, to respond to him more quickly, to be more attentive to his words, aren't we? I mean, we were singing those songs, man. We want that. So here's the thing. One of the things that I would say to you that I've found in following the Good Shepherd is this. First of all, be confident that you can hear his voice. And then here's the second thing. And then listen for his voice all the time, because you don't know when he might be speaking. He doesn't just speak in times of prayer. You know, when you're praying and then you expect God to speak to you. I'll tell you this. God speaks to me more when I'm not in a time of prayer than he does when I'm praying. But that doesn't mean he doesn't speak to me when I'm praying. But I have an expectancy. I've just found in my life, if I went back and told you the major things God said to me, I wasn't praying at that moment. Now, I think me praying in general helps me be attentive to his voice, and it certainly keeps me, you know, keeps my attention on him. But it wasn't like he just speaks to me while I'm praying. So be listening to him whenever he might be speaking. Because the Good Shepherd is leading us and guiding us, so he's with us. He was in that minivan with me and Matt and those girls. See, he was in the minivan with us, leading us and guiding us, in this case, for Eddie's sake. But, you know, it's a great blessing to be the person that connects somebody with their house that was their dream, you know? It was better that be them than me, really, at that point. And he's leading us and guiding us. He's there with us. He's the Good Shepherd. He's right there. Now, here's what I have found is this, that God leads us as we go. And this is the point I wanted to get to. God leads us as we go. And sometimes I think we get, and I can tell you I'm guilty of this, we think, I'm going to pray and I'm going to hear from God. I'm going to pray, you know, and I'll pray and I pray and I pray and I'm going to hear from God. And I'm going to pray until I hear from God, you know, and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm listening and, you know, did you hear anything? Y'all turn down the music, you know, something. I'm supposed to be hearing from God. But I'm just telling you, the Good Shepherd doesn't just speak when you're in the stable. He leads you as you go. Now think about that if you're a stable. I really relate to this because as a mom, you have to give kids all kinds of directions all the time. You ever sent your kid to get something or to do something, but you realize somewhere along, you know, you're sitting there, you just want to, the ideal thing is you just want to sit right here while the kid goes and handles it. And so you're telling them to do it, but somewhere along there you realize this kid cannot follow all the directions that I'm going to have to give them in order to do this. Now, they can do it, but I'm going to have to go and give them step-by-step directions, at least somewhere along the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it involves turn here and do this and pick this up, and then you got to, you know. You think about it. The other day, Becky wanted to make the quinoa that we make in our house that I usually make for our son-in-law, Josh. He really loves it, and so she'd eaten it. They didn't, and they wanted to make it for the NLC retreat. And so I'm trying, there's a recipe, but then I'm trying to explain how I really make it because it has very little to do with the actual recipe. Probably you're like that too. And so I start to tell her, and somewhere in the middle of it, I just realize none of that's going to happen because there's no way I can take all that I know and put it into you in just one or two words or one or two sentences. Now that's how it is with God. He can't just in a moment download into you every little part that you need to follow his purpose and plan. So he can give you maybe a general thing, but what I have found is when I get up and go, then he can speak to me. Because let me ask you this, if I was sitting at home, you know, 14 miles away, if I was sitting at home on my sofa praying, how could God have spoken to me about that house over there? I didn't even know it existed. I didn't even know there was a neighborhood there. I mean, maybe he could have, in his divine wisdom, gotten it over to me, but I'm going to tell you, it would have had to be super, you know, really spectacularly supernatural. But once we're out and about and we're riding down the road, it was just as simple as me having an unction to turn, him being open to it, and him saying to me, you'll find something. Do you understand? I'm just talking about the practical way he works with us. He just leads us here and there. And so it's a lot easier for him to lead us when we are already getting in motion to follow something. And if you have to have it all, you know, in triplicate and signed and dotted and notarized before you can proceed, you're going to miss what God has for you. You're going to need to get in motion. So that's what I'm telling you. We need to get in motion. I feel like this is a word for somebody here tonight, that you need to get in motion and God will lead you as you go and quit waiting on it to all become crystal clear or for some big word from heaven or some big reassurance before you get in motion. Go ahead and start taking some steps and get some movement going, because then he can direct you. He can say no over here to the water and over there. But if you're just sitting at the stable, it's going to be hard for you to get to the still water. It's going to be hard for you to get to the green pastures. You need to get some motion going. And when you get the motion going, then he can lead you and guide you. There are things God has for you in your life that you have no capacity in your own mind right now. You have no capacity to even imagine it. It's beyond your imagination. Isn't that what Ephesians 3:20 says? Is there things beyond what we could even think? How will we get to the things that are beyond what we can think? Well, he will have to lead us to them. But he's not able to lead us to those while we just sit. Even if we're praying as we sit, we have to get up and start doing something. And as we get in that motion, then he leads us and he directs us and we step over. Now, you think back into your life, because most of us here know a little bit about being led by the Holy Spirit. Think back in your life about times where you know God has led you. Have there been times where he's led you as you were in motion for something? Here's the other thing the shepherd does. The shepherd, you know, sheep are notoriously dumb animals. I don't know if you know that. But from people that know about sheep, which I'm not a big sheep expert, we do have a friend who's a sheep farmer. Lives in Australia on the west coast there. But sheep are supposed to be very dumb. And so that one reason they need a shepherd is because they just get in so much trouble on their own. So that's kind of a word of maybe what the Lord thinks of you someday. That's just telling you he's just taking extra special care of you because he loves you so. And so there you are as a sheep, and the shepherd can't just send the sheep out and expect them to find the water and to find the pasture and all on their own. That's not what the shepherd does. The shepherd takes them. You know, cows don't have shepherds. You don't think of cows having shepherds. It's sheep that have shepherds. So evidently there's some animals that can find their own way around. You know, tigers, they go out and hunt on their own and find their prey. But sheep need a shepherd. So it's interesting. That's the kind of animal he compares us to, a sheep. And we are right there dependent on that shepherd. And we need him not just at the get-go. We don't just need him in the morning to open the gate. We need him to lead us every little step. Now, here's the deal. Sometimes people say things to me. They say, well, the Lord was leading me. You know, I felt an assurance that I was supposed to do this thing, like pursue this career or start this job or, you know, move to this place or, you know, some kind of a change. And then they start moving towards it. And as they start moving towards it, suddenly it starts seeming like something's not quite right here. I'm moving towards it. I'm sure God was leading me to do this. And then you get over towards it. And then it starts seeming not quite like the thing. And then you're confused because you're like, did you say to do this or did you not? Or what was that? Well, I'll tell you this. Sometimes God just leads us just in the realm of what we can hear and what amount of knowledge we have. And then he makes adjustments with us as we go along the way. So sometimes you don't even know what is out ahead of you, but he will lead you in a general direction, but you like to, you know, make it super specific right away. He's just trying to get you up and go in some direction, and then he's going to maneuver you. So you just always stay real close to the good shepherd. And here's another thing, is that we, in our desire to look smart before people, you know, otherwise known as pride, in our, you know, in that we like to set forth from the beginning this great audacious plan that sounds so impressive so everybody will be just mesmerized with how we can follow God. And we like to just, you know, put that out there, and then we like start for it, and it seems like that might not be quite what God has for us. And then we're like, but I got to do it because I told everybody and their brother I was going to do it and really impress them. Any of y'all ever had that? Just me? Okay. It wasn't quite that. Like, let's not be embarrassed. There's not one person here that really has endeavored to follow God that hadn't just fouled up and flipped out and made a big old mess. And secondly, there's not one of us that in following God have had to sidestep and make other maneuvers, because you know what? God is leading us while we're here on planet Earth. And like I've told you before, planet Earth is treacherous, and not everything goes according to God's plan because there are people who have free wills involved. For example, you know this as well as I do. You ever been believing God for a job or for some finances of some sort? And it seemed like, what is that? It seemed like it took a lot longer than it should. It was this thing going on. It was that. God's got to work within what's happening here, and not everybody is quick to obey, including you. So but you just stay. Here's the thing. If you'll stay with the good shepherd, you'll end up in a good spot. You'll be at the greenest pasture. You'll be by the still water that you can actually drink. Your soul will be restored. Goodness and mercy will be following you. There's no need to be all upset in the meanwhile. But tonight, I'm shutting it down here, but tonight I believe there's some people that are here that need to get in motion. So if that's you, just in a minute, we're going to pray. And you just speak, you just tell the Lord, I sense that's probably me. I've been waiting. And I can tell you, this is a word for me tonight. There's some things I need to get in motion about, and I've just kind of been, I've been wanting more information, and I realize I need to actually be in motion. I need to do something. So that's one. And then the second one is this. If you're here and you felt at some point that the Lord was leading you to do something, and then you got in the middle of it and it got cloudy or it didn't work out quite the way you thought it would, or you felt like you needed to change direction and you've sort of been in a quandary and maybe scratching your head like, what's going on? I just want to comfort you tonight, and I just want to tell you, just stick with the good shepherd. He speaks in a way you can hear him. He knows you. He sees the end from the beginning. He's out for your good. He's not out to get you. He's out for your good. And he's working. He's leading. He's guiding. And it doesn't matter who you told or what kind of big plan you made. Just set that aside. Be humble. And say to yourself, hey, I'm open to what you have for me. I'd rather be wrong. I'd rather, be humbled, maybe even be humiliated and get your plan and get it right than I would to just carry on in my prideful way. So I'm not going to just, it's going to happen. It's got to. I think about John Tallman over there. John Tallman, for years, first time I ever met him, he's going to be a dentist. I always think about the dentist in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Y'all remember the guy that wanted to be a dentist? I always think about that when I think about that. Anyway, never mind. Might it be before you. Did you ever see Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? A little kid with a guy who wanted to be a dentist. He took the abominable snowman's teeth out. Oh, it was great. It was really sweet. Dear God, we watched that over and over, over and over and over again. Okay. He wanted to be a dentist. Told everybody knew John Tallman wanted to be a dentist. John, did everybody in your family know you wanted to be a dentist? How long had you been wanting to be a dentist? Since he was 13. Everybody knew John Tallman was going to be a dentist. But you know what? This year, as he was going through his second year, of college this year, the Lord was dealing with him. But he's told everybody he's going to be a dentist. But the Lord was dealing with him. He had to humble himself and go into his parents and a lot of other people in his life and say, I'm actually not going to be a dentist. The Lord has something else for me. And that, John, that's difficult, isn't it? Is that a little? Very difficult. I commend you, brother. There's nothing wrong with that, y'all. But whatever it is, the Lord might, you know, just be open to him and his nudges. And don't shut down by going, well, I heard him say that. I'm sure he was saying that. Yeah, but that might have, you know, that was. But I'm saying to you, that might have just been all he could get over to you to get you in motion, to get you going somewhere. I mean, I can tell you some gut-wrenching stories about things that the Lord told me in a spectacular way to do, and the whole thing turned out to be a big old mess, and I'm left going, well, this was your idea. But I also know he's a good shepherd. He's not leading me into calamity. I know if it went south, it wasn't his doing. He had my best interest at heart, and if I'll just stay with him, he's still got green pasture. He's still got still waters. He's still got restoration for my soul. Am I right? Well, let's pray, and then I'm going to turn over to Nate. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for leading us in the way we should go. We take comfort in the voice of the Good Shepherd. Just say that. I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. The voice of a stranger I will not follow. We thank you tonight, Father. And Father, I just pray for those among us that are like me, that need to get in motion in some areas, some things, get going, trying to hear, and hadn't quite heard exactly right, just aren't comfortable with what we're hearing. Help us to get in motion in Jesus' name. And I know clarity will come. Maybe we'll walk out of the fog as we're getting in motion. Hallelujah. We'll walk right out of the fog. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. As we move, we'll move out of the fog. That's the word of the Lord for you. As you move, you'll move out of the fog. As you move, you're going to move into the clear blue and out of the fog. Hallelujah. And then, Father, I pray for those among us who have felt like, well, I tried that following God stuff and it looked like it just got derailed. It went the wrong way. Something got messed up. Father, just forgive us for whatever part we had in that. Hallelujah. We pray for anybody else who got in the way. And Father, we just trust in you again. Hallelujah. We know that you're maneuvering us, and we sang to you and told you, we're giving you our lives, and we really meant that. And we're trusting in you to work out a beautiful plan that will bear great fruit for the kingdom, and it'll meet the very desires of our heart too. We're trusting in you for that tonight. As we walk with you, you're leading us just where we should go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Just talk to him for a moment.